Find all the case information you need faster. Smart litigators rely on Bloomberg Law's broad litigation news coverage and our market-leading dockets. Now with AI-driven search and analytics, customized alerts, and expansive state court coverage. Visit pro.bloomberglaw.com for everything you need to win.
Gavin Newsom has turned to the judicial system to try to solve California's mental health crisis. But according to who you ask, the new courts he created are either too powerful or not powerful enough. Today we learn about these courts and why their biggest problem may be that, well, just not that many people are using them. Hello, you're listening to On the Merits, the news podcast from Bloomberg Law and Bloomberg Government. I'm your host, David Schultz. So the state of California has a brand new court system, but instead of sending folks to jail or ordering them to pay someone else money, its judges are basically ordering folks to go see the doctor. It's called the Community Assistance Recovery and Empowerment, or CARE Court. The purpose of the CARE Courts is to be a place where judges can order people with schizophrenia and other serious mental health problems to get treatment before, or ideally, instead of when they enter the state's overburdened penal system. Here's Gavin Newsom, the state's Democratic governor and a big backer of the CARE Courts, talking on 60 Minutes about what he says is an untenable status quo.
It's a fail-first system, not a care-first system, which means you have to end up in the criminal justice system before finally someone provides support and a bed and a solution. We've got to change that, and that's what we're doing.
That was in September of last year. Now, 7 months later, we're starting to get some data on how the CARE Courts are working, and as reporter Maya Spoto found out, they're hearing far fewer cases than some local officials had expected. I spoke with Maya about this and about what judges like Maria Hernandez, the top CARE Court jurist in Orange County, think about their lighter-than-expected caseload. I also talk with Maya about the possibly unresolvable tension at the heart of the CARE Court system, that mental health and civil liberties advocates think it's too powerful, while the loved ones of the mentally ill wish it could do more. First, I asked Maya what CARE Courts are and what they were created to do.
CARE Courts are the first of their kind in the nation, and they were spearheaded by California's Governor Gavin Newsom in around 2022 as this novel way to tackle the issues of homelessness in California and also severe mental health issues in the state. And so what sets CARE Court apart from your typical mental health court, if there even is one, is this idea that anyone can petition a person into CARE Court, whether that be your parents, your roommate, even a first responder like a police officer. And in CARE Court, you have to meet a certain set of strict criteria to qualify. You have to have schizophrenia or a related diagnosis. And when you're in it, you basically go in front of a judge and you are there and a behavioral health team is there and you work out a plan for your treatment, and the judge then orders you to follow it and orders the county and related agencies to provide the necessary elements of that care. Sometimes that care can include more permanent housing options for people who need that to support their recovery.
And we should say this is a civil court, right? This is not a criminal court, so there are not criminal penalties associated with going to this court or with failing to abide by what the court does.
Right. This is within the civil system. Some people are using it while they also separately go through the criminal court system, but the two proceedings exist within different kinds of law.
That makes sense. Now, you sat down with one of the judges who is setting up one of these brand new courts in Orange County. Her name is Maria Hernandez. Tell me about what she has experienced creating a brand new, you know, judicial system from scratch.
Sure. So presiding judge Maria Hernandez, who leads Orange County's Superior Court system, is in charge of basically coordinating how the court interacts with the state agencies and how the system runs in Orange County. And so she's not actually hearing these cases, but she knows a lot about the snags that officials are encountering as this very ambitious system hits the ground. And Hernandez is on a team that meets quarterly in California with people who are working on this program's launch across the state. And what she told me is that a main challenge that's facing care court is that judges can order people into housing, but that housing is pretty scarce. And in California, there's a large documented affordable housing shortage, and it's hard to make a treatment plan that really works for somebody who is both unhoused, although you don't have to be homeless to participate in this court, and experiencing severe mental health issues without that element of stable and continuous housing.
Yeah, and let's hear a clip from your discussion with Judge Hernandez here.
Just because somebody files a petition doesn't mean that that respondent is going to be responsive to the interventions immediately. That might take multiple visits. That might take visits outside in the community. That might take visits by the healthcare provider or the social service provider or even the lawyer. We have stories of them going to under the bridges, at the parks, making contact with them to build that rapport and trust to say, let us help you.
Okay, so I want to get into one of the central tensions in your story that I think you did a great job of highlighting, which is that some people think that care courts have too much power, and some people think that care courts have not enough power. And let's start with the people who think that care courts are not powerful enough. Tell me about Anita Fisher. You know, her son has some interactions with the care courts, but it seems like she's a little unhappy with the limits on what it can do.
Mm-hmm. So Anita Fisher started out very hopeful about the system. For a long time, she was following it, and she submitted a petition for her son, who has schizophrenia, very early on in the process. She saw it as a way to finally give him the push that she thinks he needs to get treatment. And right off the bat, she had a sense that something wasn't going to work out the way she wanted. She said that the first thing that happened for her son after he signed on to be part of the court was he got put into these motels as the court was working out a plan for more permanent housing for her son. But he keeps getting kicked out of the motel in the winter because of his behavior, which she says is attributable to him not receiving appropriate treatment. And so after a few rounds of getting kicked out from these motels, he ended up getting in contact with police again, and he was arrested, and now he's back in jail. And so Anita sees this as a major failure in terms of, you know, why couldn't the court stop that? They had months to put him where he needed to be.
Okay, but then let's talk about people who are criticizing the care courts from the opposite direction, people who think it has too much power. I understand there are a lot of mental health advocates, civil liberties advocates who say that, you know, even though this is a civil court, there are real consequences to what might happen if people don't want to be in the care courts, don't want to follow the recommendations. Can you get into that a little bit? I get the sense it has to do with conservatorships, essentially, that they're worried that they'll wind up in these involuntary conservatorships.
Right. So if you're not familiar with a conservatorship, that's what Britney Spears was under until she was released. That was the crux of the Free Britney movement a couple of years back. And a conservatorship gives somebody full control over another person's pretty much every move, like when you leave your house or when you eat food and what you eat, etc. And the critics of care court, which largely are spearheaded by organizations like the ACLU, Disability Rights California, other community mental health advocates, they say that care court is pretty much a way to expand pipelines to conservatorships. And to back that up, they point to some part of the law which says that if somebody decides to drop out of care court, then the judge is able to issue a mandatory psychiatric evaluation into this person. And that evaluation can determine if someone is gravely disabled. And if they are gravely disabled, then they can be referred out to a conservatorship. Also, if somebody fails to go with their care treatment plan, the law says that that fact can be used against them in a separate, which is key, it's separate, but a conservatorship proceeding that would unfold within 6 months of that lapse happening.
Yeah. So we've heard a few criticisms of the care courts. One is that, you know, they don't have the resources to really solve the problems here. Another one is that they don't have enough teeth. Another one is that they have too sharp of teeth. But the really interesting thing that you found in your story, which I think everyone would agree is a problem, is that they're just not being utilized enough. The numbers of people who they're seeing are much lower than we thought they would be. Tell me a little bit about that. What's going on there, and why have these courts been so, it seems like, underutilized?
Sure. So, yeah, just to throw that into some perspective, at one of their launch press conferences back in the fall, Los Angeles County's one of their public defenders was saying that Los Angeles could see up to 4,500 care court participants in its first year. So far, they launched December 1st in Los Angeles. It's now, last time I checked, it was end of March in terms of the numbers. And Los Angeles had about 100 petitions that were filed. So that's a pretty sharp disparity compared with some of the earlier projections. And in general, I've heard a few different explanations for why this is the case. And many people are saying, you know, this is a brand new first of its kind court system. People are unfamiliar with it. They're waiting for, you know, things to smooth out a little bit before dipping their toes in. Other people are saying, you know, it's a matter of outreach. It's a matter of building awareness. Still others are telling me that the criteria are a lot stricter to qualify for care court than was initially made public while this program was getting rolled out. So what we're seeing as this is happening is some courts are measuring success, not in terms of how many petitions are getting filed, but in terms of, you know, how many people are engaging with these self-help teams, how many people are going into court who otherwise haven't gone into the building and contacting someone who can get them connected with the behavioral health teams, who might then be able to help with other issues that are still problems for their lives, but not connected.
Yeah. So let's hear from Judge Hernandez about that.
One of the biggest issues is we need to get this information out to people, to family members, the petitioner who's filing, right? Those generally couldn't be family members, but we're seeing petitions coming from our first responders. We're seeing petitions coming from the hospitals. So we want to see all of those different individuals being able to file.
Maya, I want to ask you a little bit, just very briefly, about the political aspects of this, because Governor Newsom has really staked a lot of political capital on this working, on this solving California's homeless and mental health problems. If it's underused, that could be, I could imagine, a big problem for him. Tell me a little bit more about that.
That's a great question. Newsom has definitely planted his flag in this program. It hits at some of the key issues he's been trying to address in California, chiefly that of homelessness in the state. And Newsom, as this has unfolded, is keeping his head relatively high. He was in a press conference in March saying, you know, this is rolling out. Thank you to all who have started their programs. Los Angeles started theirs earlier than anticipated. All of the other counties in California, there are 58 counties and 50 have not started their programs yet. And he was like, hey, other 50 programs have until the end of the year, technically, but you should really get started on these sooner, be more aggressive with it. So he's, I think, pushing the gas a bit.
All right. Well, that was Maya Spoto. They cover California for us here at Bloomberg Law. Maya, thank you so much for talking with us. That was great.
Thank you so much, David.
That'll do it for today's episode of On the Merits. It was produced by myself, David Schultz. Our editor today was Andrew Satter, and our executive producer is Josh Block. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Attention, smart litigators. When it comes to executing your case strategy, Bloomberg Law's continuous innovation is your secret weapon. And now, we're taking it up a notch. Introducing enhanced docket features with AI-driven search and analytics, lightning-fast customized alerts, and expanded state court docket coverage. Plus, we've substantially increased our litigation news coverage, so you'll never miss a beat. Don't wait. Visit pro.bloomberglaw.com today and get everything you need to secure big wins.